You're tuned to Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Now, something that might make you squeamish. We're going to talk about spiders. And not just spiders, but spider genitalia. You see, that's the best way to tell one species from another. Paula Cushing is a spider expert at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, and she is in charge of the Colorado Spider Survey, which has been going on for 13 years, thanks to a lot of volunteers, what the museum calls citizen scientists. And this weekend, Cushing will be training new recruits. She remembers one year the survey turning up a spider so small it couldn't be identified at first.
And I figured out finally that it was a member of a family called Zodoriidae, and the species is Zodorion rubidum. It's a species that somehow got introduced to the United States. It's spread all over the United States. It's about 2 millimeters, so it's a tiny little thing. Builds these really cool little tiny rocky retreats underneath rocks, and it specializes on hunting ants. So we wrote a little paper that was published in Journal of Arachnology on the ant hunting behavior of this spider.
It lives in rocks. Does it spin webs?
No, it's a what we call a cursorial hunter. So it's out there usually in the evening, right before dusk, and it's running around looking for ants to hunt. And it'll eat ants that are its size or even a little bit larger. It has some whopper kind of venom for ants because it'll rush in, bite an ant in the leg, and then back off and let the ant become paralyzed and then reapproaches and starts feeding.
So speed and venom are its tools, not trapping an ant in a web.
Right,
got
correct.
It. And there are apparently so many different kinds of spiders in the state that, well, you feel you haven't seen them all.
Well, arthropods, which includes the spiders, it's a group that really is poorly known worldwide. So there are new species of spiders, new species of insects being discovered every single year in every terrestrial habitat on Earth. So it's a large group of organisms, and spiders in particular, because there's so few scientists that are professional arachnologists that are studying them, that we really know very little about the true species diversity. So there's a lot more species to be discovered everywhere on Earth.
Well, it sounds like there are far more spiders than people studying them, that's for sure. What's the deal with this lack of arachnologists?
I think with groups like arachnids, they're so foreign to humans. Our species is a lot better able to associate with animals that are closer to us, things like mammals, things like birds, vertebrates. We understand vertebrates. We are a vertebrate. So things like arthropods, insects, spiders, they seem so distant from our own biology that I think there's fewer people that are attracted into those subdisciplines of biology to study those particular animals.
Versus,
versus a bear. Versus mammalogists, right, exactly.
Or a porpoise.
Exactly.
That's kind of smiling at you.
Exactly.
I see. Well, how do you go about collecting spiders? They're often lurking, as you've even described with that first one, in hard-to-reach places.
Sure. The way I approach the project, and the project itself is what we call a citizen science project, which at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, we're really keen on getting people involved in the scientific process. And so what I do is I teach a workshop or classes on spider biology, and in the course of that workshop or the class, I teach people how to collect spiders, how to look for them. So part of the workshop, I take people outside and they get to use some of the techniques that are common in finding spiders, things like sweeping the vegetation with a sweep net, which is kind of like a butterfly net, but it's not a mesh. It's more like a canvas bag on a pole, or beating the vegetation and knocking the spiders out onto what we call a beat sheet, which is just a little square white sheet where you can see the animals that are being knocked out of the vegetation. Or just flipping over rocks, flipping over logs, and looking to find spiders in these cracks and crevices and holes in the ground where they tend to hide during the day.
I have to imagine that you need to be thinking about spider bites and protecting yourself.
Nah, not so much.
Really?
Not so much. There, of the 42,000
I have a feeling this is a question you spend some time answering.
Yes, I get a lot of questions about spider bites and dangerous spiders. A lot of people calling up saying, I found a spider in my house, and is it poisonous? Well, the question really is it venomous? And the answer is yes. All spiders essentially are venomous. They're venomous animals, but
not encouraging.
Very few have venom that's of medical importance to humans.
There
so
we go.
In this region, all we really have to worry about in terms of medically important venom from spiders is the western black widow. We do not have the brown recluse. Sometimes it gets introduced to the state, but populations just don't persist.
Well, have any of the citizen scientists reported bites or problems?
No, not a single one of them.
And you've been doing this for what, 13 years now?
13 years, yep.
So you end up determining who's who in the spider world by turning these creatures over and looking at their
naughty bits, right? That's right.
Their private parts.
That's right.
This is not just to tell gender, but to tell species.
Correct.
Why?
Correct. Well, arachnologists have a reputation for being obsessed with genitalia and with sex because that's what we have to look at. We have to look at their sexual parts, their genitalia, in order to tell the species. Males have their genitalia called pedipalps. They're leg-like appendages on the front of the body. They look like little legs, but with adult males, they look like they're wearing boxing gloves, and that pedipalp is a really complex structure, and it's used to store his sperm. The male then will insert structures associated with that pedipalp into the female to inseminate her.
And these parts have to fit. In other words, this is why a spider of one variety would not be able to mate with the spider of another.
Correct. It's like we call it a lock and key mechanism. So the male pedipalp locks into place on the female's genital opening and structures that are associated with that genital opening.
And these are a bit like species fingerprints. In other words, no two species have the same pedipalps?
Exactly. Correct. Huh. So you can tell one species from another by examining those structures under a microscope.
You've done the Colorado Spider Survey for 13 years now. How many specimens have you gathered?
Well, when I got to the museum in 1998, the museum did not have a spider collection at all. They didn't have a collection of arachnids. So we had essentially no specimens. Now we have between 40 and 50,000 vials of specimens.
Hugely because of citizen scientists.
Hugely because of citizen scientists and colleagues who found out that I was at the museum and donated their own collections. But the citizen scientists themselves have sent in about 30,000 specimens, individual specimens.
And you imagine this will keep going for some time, the survey?
Yes, as long as there's enthusiasm for it. And I don't see that waning.
Tell me about the volunteers here. I gather they're people who do not consider themselves afraid of spiders.
That's correct. I don't get very many arachnophobes working for me.
Yeah, but no one who comes forward and says, I want to get over it, so here I am.
Well, I get a lot of arachnophobes who take my workshops, and I always admire those arachnophobes who take the time and trouble to come to a workshop on organisms that they're terrified of in order to face their fear and to get past it.
Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Sure, you're welcome. It was fun.
Paula Cushing is curator of invertebrate zoology at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. She leads the Colorado Spider Survey. And if you'd like to learn about a citizen scientist training, visit cpr.org.